Blog Talk Radio. God, I praise you today. For your grace is amazing. Praise God.
Everyone, and welcome to Your Place. I'm Starla, and tonight we have a guest with us. Well, not really a guest, but we have Block Talk Mom with us, and she has some friends who are going to speak with us. The title of our show tonight is From Homeless to a King's Kid. And if you're listening for the first time, press 1, and I'll give the last 4 digits of your phone number, and you can begin to speak. And anyway, also, Your Place can be accessed on the computer, and this program will be in the archives for those that missed tonight but want to hear. For the grace of God in this economy, we could all find ourselves homeless. Our guests tonight are going to share what it means to have lived a life of despair, to not have a home and be bound with addiction. You're going to hear the real stories of those with addictions. And then we're going to hear what a difference God has made in each of their lives. Each with the life-changing power, even with the life-changing power of God, we still have to go through process. I ask all of you who have been more fortunate to add these people to your prayer list. Well, hello, Blog Talk Mom. How are you tonight?
I am fine. I have just had a grand experience with my phone going out. I thought, what am I going to do? But I am so happy to be here on this program and to be able to share 3 wonderful friends of mine and their part, just a little touch of their story, because it's a lifetime of different processes, as you mentioned, that they have gone through, that they're overcomers. They have a victorious testimony and story to share, and their heartfelt conviction is to say something, that if someone is listening and you may be in a particular struggle in your process and maybe you're losing hope or you just don't know which way to turn, they are there to speak loud and clear that Jesus Christ was and is the answer for their lives and is for mine and Sister Starla and Wild Bill. And I'm not going to call him Wild Bill tonight. I'm going to call him Bill. And I talked to him today. He was so encouraging to me with then the things that you have said too, Starla. And I appreciate all that you've done about this program, working, putting it together, and I know you work hard and then to want to bring glory to God through the words that are going to be said. And I spoke with Joy Bells today, and she's listening tonight, and she had some very encouraging things to say. We all, in the months that we've had the broadcast, we've realized that there's not that much difference in any of us. We all have to suffer. We all have to overcome those things. We all have a choice to become better or bitter, and it is a choice. But we have a Savior that is just that. I love that song, Sister Starla. Y'all chose one of my very favorite songs on the marvelous, marvelous grace of God. Now, tonight we're going to read, or Sister Starla, if you will read some scriptures that are found in Luke. It's an excellent story, not a lot of verses, but it tells a lot. Jesus taught in many ways. He taught with object lessons. He used drama. He used the natural things around us. And so a man had come up to him and wanted to know what he should do to inherit eternal life. And this was the conversation. And Sister Starla, if you will read those scriptures in Luke 10:25-37, please.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise.
So tonight, we're going to ask the same question that the Lord asked in that parable. Which of us is truly the neighbor to those less fortunate than we are? Are we too busy? How many of us can tell the time that the Lord Jesus Christ came to us and found us in the same situation? The devil, the Bible says in John 10:10, the thief, talking about the enemy, came not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And it's a process. We still must remain focused upon God, full of his word. And our guests are going to share some of those thoughts with us. But we don't want to be caught again by that power of darkness, the lust of the flesh, the lust of our eyes, and the pride of life. We don't want to get so busy with the cares of life that we forget those less fortunate. So Jesus is the Good Samaritan. And he came to us and healed our wounds and provided for all of our needs. The promises are thousands in the Word of God. And now it's our turn to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now our guests tonight are going to give, this was interesting. We worked on what we were going to say for about 3 hours Sunday afternoon. And we were looking for titles. And one of them said, I wanted to include them so we wouldn't forget. One of them said, the title would be, Jesus Died for Us, We Should Live for Him. I thought that was really good.
Wow.
And one said, Giving It Back. And the other one said, Pay It Forward. So they've got the idea of what Jesus was saying in this marvelous parable. Go and do thou likewise. Jesus certainly was that wonderful and is the Good Samaritan that takes care of us. Now I'd like to bring James on now, if he is on the air, James, can
yes.
you hear me?
James?
Hello?
Okay,
hello.
There you are. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, now James, he's an artistic man. He's very intelligent. He's a worker. I can't tell you all the compliments I have for him. He's also 6'7". How about that? James, in your words, what is a homeless person?
A homeless person is basically just anybody else in this world just without a home, really.
That is beautiful. That's just absolutely that in a nutshell. I wanted to mention that also in 2009 I had read some statistics, James, and it said in the United States that one in every 200 people, that was in 2009, lived a shelter existence. In other words, they have no home of their own. If they have a place to stay, it will be in some type of shelter. And there was also two other statistics. The Policy Almanac stated that between 700,000 and 2 million people are homeless on any given night in America. That's a lot of people. And the reasons that that happens varies. And the story needs to be told, and that's why I do appreciate you so much for coming and giving us more insight to what actually happens and what happened in your life. How old are you, James?
I'm 42.
42. You're just a baby, aren't you? Do you feel like you're 42 going on 70 sometimes? Okay, so you, in your life, a homeless person, as you mentioned, is a person without a home. What happened? Well, actually, how long have you been without a home? How many years? When did this sort of come?
It sort of come into play about 2001.
2001.
Yeah, well, I managed to go for a while after my parents died. That was what really took me to this position. After they died, I fell kind of hard into drugs and alcohol. I was smoking marijuana a little bit, not heavy, just every so often, and drinking a little bit here and there before they died. But after they died, I went to drinking more heavily and smoking more regularly. And I went from that to snorting cocaine and smoking crack. And it just come a day come that I woke up and I just realized, I can't live this way. I've got to do something. I've got to get off the drugs and off the alcohol. And I made my mind up that I was going to try and quit. But my problem was everybody really that I knew back home. I'm originally from South Carolina, and everybody that I knew back home was people that I partied with, and some members even within my own family that messed with drinking and doing different drugs. But it was all around me. And I just the temptation was too strong for me. I wasn't strong enough to fight it like I knew I needed to. So I started leaving out, getting outside the road, hitchhiking and going from one state to another. And I'd keep going back home, but every time I go back home, I get back around these same people, and it was a real struggle for me.
I can really understand that, because that's really true with all of us. We have to get out of the pit that we're in, and we usually try within our own strength just to fail until we find that one that David said delivers us out of that horrible pit and sets our feet on a solid rock. Now, you had gone to church in your childhood, and in the trauma of your mom, or your dad passed, and then your mom, it was the extreme trauma, and there was almost like a grief that you went into at that time. Mm-hmm. And alcohol, drugs, these types of things, you recognized, as you told me before, that they were temporary escapes, but they were a trap within themselves. Did you? How far in school did you go? Let's share with our listeners.
I actually quit school in the ninth grade.
Now you had an accident when you were just a little baby. You shared that with me.
One of my sisters. I got one brother and five sisters. Well, one of my sisters. When I was a baby, she picked me up and dropped me, and I hit my head, and it caused a problem that caused me to have problems with reading and writing, because of what's in my head, what's in my brain, caused me to have problems with reading and writing. Now, the Lord has blessed me so much. I've, over the years, especially ever since I've been going to church at Jesus' name and really truly buckling down and trying to do what's right and live for Him, actually my reading has really improved. And He's, even with my reading problems, He's given me knowledge of different things that is a way for me to make a way for myself. I mean, I know construction work. I know a little bit in electrical. I know a little bit in plumbing. You know, I know these things, you know, the different things that He has allowed me to know so to how to do these things that I could have a way to make a living and make a way for myself.
That's so interesting, and you, the fact that even though you were homeless and that you were, you know, like a vagabond from place to place,
mm-hmm.
you not someone that would was not willing to work. And I want to insert that a few years ago especially, you would see, we would see people along the road, and maybe in some areas we might see it again, and they would say that we would work for food. And
mm-hmm.
there's been some remarks made that, and actually there have been people that have used that, so
mm-hmm.
we know that also. There's always people that will sort of play the system.
But you really want
to work for food, right?
That's right. You are right. There are people that will sit outside the road with their cardboard signs saying, I will work for food, and what they really want is for you to stop and give them some money.
Right.
And what they're going to do with that money, they'll go get drugs. Well, I wasn't like that. I didn't do that. I would tell people that I worked for food. I didn't actually hold up a sign saying it, because I wasn't looking for people to stop and give me money. I was hungry. I wanted something to eat. I would go to people face to face and tell them, you know, ask them, do you have any kind of work around here I can do? And, you know, just feed me. I'll work if you'll just feed me. And I've experienced a lot of trouble out of that. I mean, people respond in many different ways on that kind of situation. So,
well, it's a very serious thing, and the Word of God speaks very plainly about whether or not, especially someone that would claim to be a Christian, that we would send somebody away and just say, well, Godspeed, but we don't meet the needs of that individual. And
mm-hmm.
if they're hungry or if there's a need there, then God will hold us responsible for that. And it's not necessarily that we do have wonderful organizations and shelters and places that help people, but also each individual, each of us has some relationship there that God's going to hold us accountable for. But I don't want to say that like it's such a negative thing, like, boy, we better do it or else. It's a privilege. It is a great privilege because as we give, the Bible says when you lend to the poor, you lend unto Him. You actually are doing it as unto God. And then God says that if you give that He will give to us back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So, I mean, it's a win-win situation when our heart is open to those around us that are in need. I wanted to ask you, was it danger? I mean, I know it was because we talked about it, but the dangers of what some people go out that time that you told me that there was an initiation or something. Would you explain that?
Yeah, I was the homeless shelter where I was staying at. This happened in Houston, Texas. The homeless shelter where I was staying at, if you didn't get in the gate by a certain time, you were locked out for the night. So I didn't make it in the gate on time. I got locked out for the night, and there was three guys that was joining a gang, and they attacked me with bats and beat me real bad. And I entered, I got to the hospital, emergency room. The ambulance come, you know, somebody saw what was going on and yelled out, I called the law. And I remember hearing that distinctly. And the law got there, and, you know, it wasn't very long. The first car pulled up, it was an unmarked vehicle. And the officer gets out the vehicle. And at this time, my adrenaline is going strong. I wasn't as badly as I was beaten. At this time, I wasn't really feeling no pain at this particular time. And the officer asked me if I saw which way they went. And, well, my response was, yeah, they give you a gun. I want to go after him, you know. So, yeah, he calmed me down and got me to sit down. And with that, the adrenaline slowed down. And by that time when he got there, that was all that was had me going was pure adrenaline. Well, the pain started setting in, and I couldn't move. I couldn't focus on nothing. I got to the hospital, like I say, it was like 2 in the morning, and the doctor was working on me, and he tells the nurse, I actually remember hearing him tell the nurse that he's not walking out of this hospital alive. This man did.
So you were actually...
I was still alive enough that he didn't stop working with me. But he changed his mind when he stuck his finger in one of my head wounds. When he stuck his finger in one of my head wounds, that just shot that adrenaline right back through me. I grabbed 2 handfuls of his hair and pulled him down in front of my face and told him if he'd done that again, I'd kill him.
Wait a minute. Now, we can't be mean to the doctor. He was trying.
No.
Wait, we'll go another direction with that one. But I understand that. I do. It's like the brother one time.
He looked at the nurse when I done that. He told the nurse that I might be wrong.
Yeah. Well, he was. Do you feel like God took care of you during those times?
I know he did. I know he did. He took care of me. That wasn't just like I told you, I have actually been given up from bed 3 times all total. And the Lord has kept me through all of it. I know that the Lord has a work for me. I was out there on the street because I knew I had to do what I had to do to stay away from the drugs and alcohol. But at that time, I was not living for the Lord. I wasn't going to church. I wasn't praying. I wasn't reading the Bible. I wasn't nothing. I was living on the streets and doing what I had to do to survive, and I wasn't bringing the Lord into it. And that was, I know now, you know, that was wrong. I should have brought the Lord into it then, you know?
Well, I remember... when I first met you, you were visiting our church here at Jesus Name Tabernacle, and our pastor, Pastor Gene Holland, teaches and is a tremendous example of love and caring. I've never known anyone to compare with her. Mm-hmm. And brother, we have a brother in the church, Brother Sammy Morrison. He was there. You were living. I believe you were camped out in the wooded area, is that correct?
At that time, yes, ma'am.
And then they brought food, and there was you came, and you were always very sensitive to the move of God. If there was we gathered at the altar, you would come forward. You were just very tender towards the move of God, and everyone cared for you just immediately. And then after that, though, after you'd been coming quite a while, then we had the coldest weather I believe I've ever seen in Mississippi, and you were working for a service station helping out with loading and doing things there and living behind the station. And with Brother Max.
At that time, I wasn't actually working for him. He let me stay behind the station, and he let me sit outside of the store and with a sign and offering to wash cars for people coming through. Sadly, I didn't get any cars to wash, but the way I got out of there is Brother Max Smith was a real blessing to me, the best birthday present I could have ever hoped for. It was my birthday, November 27th, on a Sunday. At Sunday morning, he announced the birthday, and after services, Brother Robbie, one of the other members of the church, he asked me if I was going to be back for the night services, so I told him I was. He told me to bring my ass out here, and his wife wanted to take me out to eat after the evening services was over. But they took me to Mazio's to eat, and I was up at the bar getting a second helping when Brother Max walks up behind me, puts his hand on my shoulder, tells me that my wife and I have been talking about it, and we got the travel trailer that's set up behind the church. You're not going back to that camp. We'll take you, get some clothes, you go come stay in that travel trailer. You don't need to be living out there like that. So that was a real blessing to me, the best birthday present I could have ever had hoped for. I mean, it's just, we worked out a deal that with me being unemployed and all, that I could stay here working on what you call the barter system, which is I do work around the church, and when he needs me to help, do work around his house and stuff, and that's how we work that out for right now. And when I get straightened out where I have a steady job again, then I start paying money to him to rent this place for however long I need to or whatever. And I'm believing, I'm trusting and believing that the Lord is going to make a way for me that I'll be able to get a decent little mobile home somewhere or something that, would be more room for me. And I mean, anybody that I like this little trailer, I do, but I mean, it's small and I'm a big man. And so, I'm believing and trusting that the Lord's going to make a way for me that I'll get somewhere a little bit more room for me.
I believe that too, because everywhere you work, the people you work for, they always want you back. They're very pleased with the way that you work and your integrity. There's the time that I recall, and I'm sure you would like to share how you obeyed the scripture that's found in Acts, the second chapter and the 38th verse. When Peter was preaching on that day, the people at that wonderful meeting, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, wanted to know what they could do to be saved. They saw everybody worshiping, and Peter told them, the first thing you do is repent, and repent is turn. And I believe, Brother James, you turned 10 years ago when you walked away from all of the temptations and the bondage that you were in, and you decided you were going to be better than that and do more that correctly. And the repentance continued, the process continued. You came to Jesus' name tabernacle, you responded, you were baptized in the beautiful, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus Christ. And last week, you began to sing in another language that you have a beautiful voice, and you were very amazed that you began to sing in another language, which is the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
I'm I believe with all my heart that's what it was. It was something I've never actually experienced. I have had people to tell me in the past, you spoke in tongues, but I know that everything I was saying during the point in time they said I was speaking in tongues, I understood everything that I said. It was just like I'm talking right now, and I could understand my words. Well, this particular day, it was just the other day, actually. I guess I got a little overheated, whatever. I ended up getting real sick feeling. I had chills. I mean, it scorching outside, and I was inside bundled up in the covers and shaking like a leaf. I had chills. My stomach was messing up, and my breathing, I couldn't half breathe. And all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, I just started, it wasn't talking, it was singing that was coming out, but it was in a language that I could not understand. I could not understand the words that was coming out of my mouth. And I know it was nothing but the Lord. And right after, less than a minute after the singing stopped, after I stopped with the singing out, whatever it was I was singing out, less than a minute, I started warming up. I come out from under the cover, and I felt good the rest of the day.
That's right. God completely healed you. That's a beautiful testimony. Brother James, can we take a minute and talk a little bit with Alicia? And,
yes, ma'am.
And then we can get back with you, and you just be thinking of anything that you would like to share. Everything you said has just been wonderful, and I do love you and appreciate you, and our church loves
you.
You've been a blessing to everybody, and God has done a beautiful work in your life. And I know you went to church Sunday morning, and people came up and said, "He's just glowing. Look, he looks so bright." And that's what the Spirit of God. It's beautiful.
Well, that was actually when that happened, when I got so sick and then went to singing out in another tongue. That happened that Saturday.
That's amazing. Okay, well, I'm going to read a few statistics here, and then we're going to talk to Alicia. I read these. It's very interesting. I was surprised. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. Now, these are from Department of Human Services and Bureau of Census. Is that 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. Now, what they're saying is not that it's just that the father's not there. It's that when the father and the mother and the setting that was intended for the balance of responsibilities, and all of these different things that happen when a father is not there because he's in prison, maybe he's died of natural causes, for whatever reason, this brings a tremendous burden upon the children that are raised. They say one of the statistics says 80% of rapists are motivated with displaced anger that comes from a broken home. There was a percentage of high school dropouts, again, from broken homes. The juvenile delinquency is high. A tremendous percentage of youth are in prison, and almost every one of them, I can't even read this percentage, are from homes that are broken homes. So that the enemy of time and the one that came to steal, to kill, and destroy is working. And we must tell everyone that there is a Jesus that loves them, that is the door. There's not any other way. That doesn't mean that we can't be helped by positive things and by good influences, but Jesus can break that bondage. The statistics went on to say that they are five times more likely to commit suicide, 32 times more likely to run away, 20 times more likely to have behavioral disorders, 14 times more likely to commit rape, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substances, 9 times more likely to end up in a state-operated institution, 20 times more likely to end up in prison. So I say that because we have now two young ladies, beginning with Alicia, that are overcomers. They faced heartache. They faced I believe Alicia's dad passed away when she was three. She is a 17-year-old Joan of Arc. And Alicia, can you hear me?
Alicia?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Can you hear?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, you're 17. How many years have you lived for the Lord?
It'll be 7 in August.
7 years.
And then wonderful years.
Would you say, if I labeled you an overcomer, would you think that would fit?
It sure does, in every way.
It certainly does. You are a very tiny little petite lady, and you live quite a ways from our church, and we have our youth leader picks you up.
It's not that far. And then Sister Tammy picks me up, but I have some of my family brings me back and forth, and Sister Tammy just brings me home.
And then we have another family, I believe, that is Sister Lisa. Sometimes they share
they
with them.
They bring me home.
We
yes,
love
ma'am.
You. We're being the Good Samaritan, aren't we?
Sure are. Y'all are just awesome.
Okay, now, but you're the one we're talking about, and I want you to share with me, or share with those that are listening. I could go on and on about the things that I've witnessed. Do you like to pray?
I love praying.
Tell me about it. Tell us about it.
It's awesome. That's where I get my strength, my peace, and my comfort from. That's where I get joy. Also with reading my Bible, but God just, you can just touch Him more when you're praying. It's just amazing.
You know, prayer is a part of every religion, and they know just the beauty of quietness, meditation. But when we do that with the Lord, the creator of the whole world, we're allowing God to join, like you said, to take that's trouble and replace it with peace, the unhappiness, replace it with joy. And I've watched that in your life. You in fact, we have a Walmart store here. I guess they have them everywhere. And I've never brought anybody from Walmart, none of the workers in 10 years that I've lived here. And I looked up the other day, and there, tell us about that. What happened?
In Walmart, and I was getting some chips to finish my supper, and Wes, he's one of the workers up there. He is so sweet. He's just happy and talks to everybody. So I invited him to church, and he got my phone number, and then that was like a Friday night. And he come to church with me that following Sunday night, and he's been coming ever since.
And just smiles. He's handicapped to some degree, but he is just one of the sweetest people. And then I went to the back the other day, a week or two ago, and was greeting people. And those are your relatives that you have invited, right, that are coming every Thursday?
One of my relatives, he works with them. So, I walked out of my bedroom, and I was talking to you on the phone, and I just got off the phone and walked in there, and they asked me what church I went to. So I told them, and they come that following Sunday night also.
And they've been, I guess, every service, it seems like.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, we have prayer meetings, and the first thing that Sister Alicia did was find out where was the prayer meeting and when did it start, and she was the first one there and had the prayer music going and has been there any time that it's possible. She's there and is just an inspiration to all the others. She went to the youth camp, and the first thing, you sort of tell your testimony in your words, Sister Alicia.
Which part?
About in the studying that I've done through the years, when someone loses a mom or dad or someone that they have a lot of confidence in or that they've bonded with, it's a life-changing experience. It is a truly life-changing experience. And you had a loss like that in your life, and you've had other situations where you were a type of displacement. As we talked about the statistics a while ago, there's displacement through divorce, through sickness, through changing of responsibilities, you lose your job description, sort of. And you share with me how you adjust to each one of these things through the power of God and through prayer. So what was the... You go ahead. What was the when you went to that church, were they having like prayer meetings and you started attending before you repented or anything? You just started going to the prayer meetings. That really stood out to me that you would do that as a child.
Yes, ma'am. I was about 10 or 11 when I first got in church. It was Brother Owens Church, and it was just a normal 30-minute prayer before service. It was a Sunday night, and I rode with Aunt Sherry, and I walked back there because the prayer meeting was going on so great, and I guess it lasted. We started service at 6, so I guess it was going over 6 from 5:30 prayer, and he asked everybody in the sanctuary to come back there, and the power of God was just moving. The prayer room was full of people, barely any place to walk around, and when I first walked into the presence of God, coming in contact with God, that peace and that joy and that comfort just hit me, and I wanted that. I desired that, and I needed it. And I asked the lady sitting beside me, how do I get this? And she said, just raise your hand and ask God to forgive you for everything you've done wrong. So I done that, and from that moment on, every time I went to church, I'd go to the altar, and I'd repent and begging God for the Holy Ghost and begging him to forgive me for everything I've done wrong. And I got baptized about a month after that on a Sunday morning in Jesus' name, and then a month after that on a Monday night prayer meeting that we had, we prayed for about an hour and 30 minutes. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that night.
So you're just really a prayer warrior that and it's reaping great benefits in your family. I met your wonderful grandmother. I just loved her. We're planning on having some Bible studies. What happened, share with them at school, even though it's not probably one of your more spiritual atmospheres, for sure.
It's not.
And a lot of persecution, especially when you change and you dress contrary. Because right in the 15, 16, even 14, we all have models that we usually begin to dress like. And so you were dressing in a godly, a very modest.
Yes, ma'am.
And so were you persecuted because of that?
I was. I went to school. I started out in Mendenhall Junior High in fifth grade, and that's when really the change of my clothes and attitude started changing. I moved to Genesis 1 from Mendenhall High School, and when I moved back, the kids up there from Mendenhall High School were very mean, and they told me I should go back to Genesis 1 where I come from, that I don't belong in this school. And then from that point on till about 7th and 8th grade, Jesus just took over. I still had mean kids around me just cussing me out and saying mean things. When I tried talking to my friends about Jesus during lunch, one of the girls told me that she was cussing me and said I just needed to quit talking about that, and that she heard me. And I'm like, well, I'm talking to my friend. You just need to go. If you don't want to hear it, just please get up and move, trying to be as nice and kind as I could. And then in junior high, about 7th grade, I was witnessing to my teacher, Miss Mika, and she's Hindu. She worships different idols, and she come to church with me one Sunday, and God was just moving on her really greatly. She sat on her desk and just squalled and cried, because she felt so much of the power of God. So no matter how many people at school may persecute me, God still moves in the atmosphere. So
I believe that if we're not persecuted, then we must, there's got to be something to counteract what we say, to really let us know that we're being effective, I guess. Not that we seek persecution, but we don't let that mold us. We let, as you said, the prayer times and the time in the Word of God, that molds us. We are in the potter's hands, but there are pressures, and if we spend time in prayer, those very pressures, my daughter and I have talked about that a lot lately, that it's those kind of pressures that will make us strong, will make us the very best that we can be if we let it. Mm-hmm. But if we become bitter, as we mentioned before, now you have a prayer. Is it a Bible study and prayer meeting at school?
We had a prayer meeting with the Bible Club. I'm over the Bible Club this year, and I was over it about April and May of last year during school, because Timothy wanted me over it, and he was seeking the Holy Ghost, and I'm believing God's to fill him, and God's just been adding people all year to it. It's just great, and so I'll be over it. We started a Friday night, about an hour of prayer after school, and every chance I could, I would go up there, and the power of God would just sweep through that place. It was just awesome. At times, it would just be me and Timothy, but we'd have three or four more people come. But I had to stop it because I didn't have a way to go, sadly. But God still moves.
Well, if anybody's listening and you've got a car, I said a nice car, but she said any kind of car, this young lady needs a car. And it will be used for helping other young people come to church and letting her do the things that she has a ministry to do. And I just felt like giving somebody an opportunity to do that. Now, Sister Alicia, we have shared different things. You never really were into drugs or alcohol or anything like that, right?
I used to smoke cigarettes when I first got in church, but that's because my stress was so high. But Jesus completely delivered me from them. And I didn't smoke them for about, at the most, 6 months. But God took care of that, so I don't have to deal with that, thank God.
That's good. Now, you are a worker. She's very work brittle with anything that she's asked to do, and around her home she helps care for her grandmother, and I think that's really commendable. And we are getting towards the end, so let's go ahead and talk a minute to Jamie if she's there. Jamie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right. She's my buddy, too. They came over Sunday, and we just talked about the Lord and worshiped and cried and had a good time, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Now, Jamie is real good friends with Alicia, and they pray together, and they have their recreation is centered around the Lord. And, you know, there's different stages, different seasons in our life, and if a particular death, as we mentioned before, happens, it can be so traumatizing that it turns the whole direction of our life. Now, Jamie was telling me that your mom and dad was in church till you were about five. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And then when they got out of church, did you get out?
No, ma'am. I stayed in.
You sure did. And what did you do? Who all did you bring?
I brought my two little brothers and my two cousins to church every single service.
Yes, you did. You just kept right on, keeping on, and you loved the Lord. And then what happened when you were about, was it 10?
Yes, ma'am. My favorite uncle died, and it tore my world apart, and I kind of started getting a little bit more out of church than I usually was. I went, but I didn't go near as much as usual. I didn't even really bother to wake up the kids. If they wanted to go, they were already awake and went. I just couldn't handle it anymore. But
I really understand even better since I met you and you shared some of your testimony with me. And I did some research on that uncle who was a pillar in your life, and you had bonded with that person, and you drew a lot more strength than you were even aware of. And then when he was gone, then you were very vulnerable. But the Lord said that he would never leave you or forsake you. So even though you drifted away from the Lord, did you always feel like he was there if you called on him?
Yeah, I've always known Jesus would always be there for me.
That's good, and that you could turn to him. I can really relate to that, Jamie, because the farther I went into sin, there was never a time that I couldn't cry out to God and know that he heard and he watched over me. Now, you did get into drugs, alcohol, things like that, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And but you were delivered completely by the power of God. You were sharing with me.
Yes, ma'am. I'm completely delivered now.
That is wonderful. And they come to church and they just, you talk about, now Alicia is tiny, but this little girl is a double zero. I mean, size-wise, I thought, I believe that. She's really tiny. Is there any particular thing you'd like to share about the Lord or about your walk with the Lord?
Well, just that I'd like to say just keep your head up. No matter what, God will always help you through it. Because since I've been back in church, the devil's been hitting me really, really hard lately, trying to, I guess, pull me back out. I had 3 friends today ask me to come drink with them, and I flat out told them, I said, no, I don't do that anymore. And they told me, they were like, oh, well, that's good, I'm proud of you. And I was happy that they didn't pressure me anymore or anything like that. But, and then, yeah, I've been with kids all day. My aunt wanted me to babysit, so I did. And, well, these kids have been aggravating me all day. And I used to curse so much. I used to cuss a lot. And, like, every other word out of my mouth was a cuss word. And today, it took everything in me not to cuss, but through the strength of Jesus, I didn't. I didn't cuss all day, and I've been so proud of myself lately. So I just want everybody to know that God will always be there for you. All you got to do is ask him.
That's beautiful. You know, he said that he would no temptation that has come upon us that is not common to man. The Lord went through those things, and he won't put more on us than we can bear if we go to him with it and don't just try to do it in our own strength. I wrote in my book that the very day that God delivered me from cigarettes, I had a big blow-up with my family, and I cussed real big. And I thought, well, the devil said, you might as well just give up. You are never going to change. And I told him how I was delivered from cigarettes. I wasn't delivered from cussing yet. But he did deliver me from that also. And he will deliver us from all things, because he is the deliverer. Now, I don't know what time it is because I'm over here with my phone. Sister Starla?
Yes, we've got about 4 minutes left.
4 minutes?
No, we've got about 2.5 minutes left.
Is by any chance Bill got anything? Is he in a zone that he can say something, or maybe doorbells?
Bill?
Well, I'm not sure you can hear me. I'm up in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, but I do find everything everyone said tonight very encouraging. And it just lets us know, you know, Satan is a good devil, and he's going to do everything he can to push buttons, to cause people to go back. But what I hear and what I've heard tonight is, as long as we lean upon God, we're going to surprise the devil, because our response is not going to be what he wants it to be, as long as we keep leaning on him. And I just want to thank everyone, you know, who was on the air tonight that opened up and shared with us, and that we'd like to have you back again sometime. And I just pray that God blesses you in the work that you're doing. And if anybody else has anything, you know, we can run over. So if anyone's got any questions or comments they'd like to ask for the show, just, you know, let's open it up. Just push 1 on your phone, and Stella will bring you on, and we'd love to give everyone a chance to say what they got to say.
Well, we do have some callers. 962. Well, I lost that one. 7574. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
This is Rocky, Brother Rocky.
Okay.
How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing fine, Brother Rocky. Do you feel like God's done anything great for you?
No, he's turned my whole life around, all the way around, from being a drug addict, alcoholic, womanizer, and all these things. It's amazing how the Lord works in your life and the trials and that you have to go through to learn the mistakes you've made in your life.
And it is a process, isn't it? We go from day to day to those things. And for the Rockies, work with the clubhouse. And you know these that have testified tonight, and you have witnessed the great things that God has done in your life, haven't you?
Yes, ma'am.
And we do have the best church. I guess everybody ought to feel that way about their own church.
Wonderful pastor.
Wonderful pastor. And we need to pray for her. She's been served at several funerals, helped people, families, and she's not as young as she used to be, so we need to pray for her strength. And hopefully, did Joy Bells, can she comment?
Well, I'm not sure of her last four digits of her phone number. Is it 3568?
Everybody has to come on and say something.
Joy? Is this me?
Yes.
This is you?
I don't know the last four digits of my phone number either. Believe it or not, this is my home, my landline.
Oh.
I really enjoyed the show, though. Very interesting. I just was hearing something today about, this is like an old, everybody knows this, but the fact that we're not a body that's having a spiritual experience every once in a while. We're a spirit, you know. The spiritual part is what's real. We're having a human experience, but we're really a spiritual being that's having a human experience. And it all boils down to the spiritual side of things. That's the only thing that's real, the only thing that's eternal. And it was interesting to listen to you guys talk about it.
I like what you're saying. Very profound, Joy Bells, because we are a spirit. The spiritual part of us will live forever. And we let the flesh dominate. And at the point that we realize that God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, and then we begin to really live. But the war is always there between our flesh and between our spirit. That was a wonderful thought.
Well, thank you.
My
You're
daughter.
So encouraging.
And
everybody they all sounded so brave and unnervous, and it was a really good show.
Well,
like they just been doing
that. I love them too. First time I did that, my voice was. But these kids are overcomers. They have. I don't think the enemy. Although I guess I'm not all that much of an overcomer, because the minute that we got ready to do the broadcast, my phone died, and I had to use my home phone, which
you overcame.
Yeah, I guess. We
doesn't
have
mean
always
your phone won't die.
Thank you for calling.
Wild Bill, can he still hear us?
Yes.
I'm still here.
Hey, you. Since it's after the show, I feel like I can be a little bit less formal and tell you hi. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Been a while. I tell you what, just hearing everybody on the air, I can remember, like you were talking about, the very first 100 times we did this, I was so scared when it became my first speak. And here you got these young people, and I still call him a young man with everything he's been through in life, and they were just sounded so confident, self-assured, and they spoke well. And just I want to applaud you guys for the way you presented yourself tonight. It was very professional, and it was very inspiring. So thank you so much again for being on the show. Were they through? Did they have anything else that they wanted to say? Because it is sort of an open mic here at the end. I'm not sure if it even actually records at this point, but anyone that's on here, you know, that's still already on the phone or already listening, they can still take part in the program.
We have a caller that's had their hand up for a while. 1666.
Ooh.
Hello?
Did you have something you wanted to say?
Yes, Mr. James Gibson. I want to tell him just how proud I am of him.
Hello?
Okay, I want to let James know just how proud I am of him. God bless him, even though I'm the sister that dropped him on his head. I still love him. And he has been a real blessing to me over my 7 weeks of sobriety and getting off of drugs. He has been a wonderful help to me. And I'd like to say I love you, Jamie.
Okay, so now what you're saying is that his testimony has made a grand impression on the direction you're going now, right?
Yes, ma'am.
What a wonderful... I appreciate you so much for calling and sharing that. So you're on the right track and getting deliverance from these things also, right?
Yes, ma'am. Me and James have talked for hours and hours at night, and he's helped me in wonderful ways.
That makes
I'm in church. I'm with the Lord now, and I owe it all to my brother James.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Yes, Lord.
That's beautiful. Well, Bill, do you care if we just have a word of prayer right here, and then we can continue?
No, go ahead. I think that would be a great way to end this show.
Lord Jesus, we do feel your presence in a special way at this very moment. We're especially thankful for the testimony that you have taken someone that has fallen among the thief of this world, that had been ripped and torn and hurt. And, Lord, you came to us. You came to all of us, and you brought us out of that pit. And you love us in our struggles, Lord. You love us. You care for us. You never stop loving us. And help us to know that and to realize that and to live for you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength and love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, this is what you want us to do. Flow through us, dear God. Strengthen us, Lord. Let every day be just one day closer to you, one day stronger in you, one day more full of your spirit and more ready and prepared to go out and touch a lost and a hurting world. We know, Lord, that you're depending on us and we're depending on you. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every word that was said, and we thank you, God. I praise you, Lord. We praise you together in Jesus' mighty, awesome name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Y'all can still hear me also. Let's remember my ex-pastor, Brother Francis, his son Peter, which he's in his 20s, I guess. They just found out that he's got a brain tumor. And so if you would, just keep Peter Francis in your prayers. And also, let's remember Sister Taylor in Arkansas. She lost everything in that fire on July 4th. And they set up a bank account for people that are wanting to help her through Ozark Bank. And so remember to keep these people in our prayers and know that whatever we can do, you know, God is going to give us more than what we give to others. And he's going to bless us. And we're blessing God in that process. So thank you again so much, Block Talk Mom and Carla, for caring everything. And I guess we'll be back next week. God bless each and every one of you.